Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Look what the Bible says right here. But ye, this word is a wonderful word, is written in the present tense. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful commission that you give your church to go to our neighborhoods, to go to our own homes, to go to our places of work, to go to the othermost parts of the earth and tell people about Jesus. Lord, if people want to get to heaven, they need Jesus. And I pray, Father, for someone here this morning that never received Jesus as Savior, may they see the need of Jesus in their lives. Lord, repent of their sin and call upon you for salvation. Lord, I pray for those on social media today watching us. If they never received Christ as Savior, may today, in the privacy of their own homes, call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we are looking in our, this month, we're doing our missions month. I talked with a pastor yesterday, and he said, I'm doing the same thing. We're doing our missions month. And it's wonderful, isn't it? Yes, because we get to talk and teach about what missions is. By the way, I forgot to say this in the announcements. I want to remind you of this. Please be praying of what you have to do for missions this year. I know some of you, I can't see what we have. The percentage last week was 91% of a financial giving. But what can I do for missions? Listen, not just financial giving. What about prayer? God asks us to pray for the mission field. Pray that he send laborers into his mission, into his field. Let me tell you, if God called you to go to the mission field, listen, I'm not going to be sad. I'll be rejoicing with you. All right? So pray what the Lord have you to do. So next week we're going to do as our part of our last week of missions. I'll be praying about it. We're going to pass those little cards. And listen, those little cards are very important. You know why it's very important? Because we have a missions budget. That's outside everything you would give for missions. It goes to that budget. And that, then when we know that number, then we know how many missionaries we have to support and we have to do for missions. So it's very important that we know that number. So next week, as at Sunday morning or in Sunday school, we'll be passing those cards out. What we ask you to do is, if it's in your heart to support missions financially, I'm talking in the aspect of financial support, you put there, I will support this amount of money bi-weekly or by month or by year or one-time give, however you do it, so we can add that whole thing up so we know how to deal with missions. We already have 5 missionaries. We're about to add 2 more. We'll be 7. I tell you, folks, in 4 years of ministry, that is good. I preached in churches that didn't have about 3 missionaries. Their churches have been in existence for 20, 25 years. So what they're doing, we have to have a vision for the lost. We have to have a vision for those who want to go and represent us in the world. So my goal is every year we add a missionary. Maybe more. This year we're adding 2. Isn't that wonderful? It's because of your giving. Otherwise, it wouldn't be possible. Okay? But be praying for that so you don't gas it. Listen, seek the face of God and ask him what he, to impress on your heart what to give. Well, let me teach you something right here. All right. Missions is not your tithe. Don't divide your tithe in half. Your tithe is the Lord's. All right? I tithe every week. It's the Lord's. Just because I'm a pastor, I don't say, well, I'm not supposed to tithe. No, I tithe every week. I have to. I give my tithes and offerings to the Lord. So your tithe is the Lord. Missions is offerings, is above your tithe. So if you split your tithe, you are in the wrong. All right? Don't take what away from God what belongs to him. Because it's the Lord. By the way, everything you got belongs to God. Amen. You're just a steward of what he's given you. Yep. All right? Be a good steward. All right. Okay. So, we look at missions. This morning, we're going to look at subject, why missions? Well, did you ever ask yourself, why missions? Why missions conference? Why supporting missionaries? Why all the emphasis of sending time, money on the subject of missions? It's just like a what do you call that? A propaganda, so to speak, to get money, as much money as we can, and to get you going, to put your mind upside down so you can give money. No, listen, look at me. I will never do that. I want you to be blessed and be a blessing to someone, but I want you to do that between you and God. Amen. Not between me and you. Because I will never ask you how you give the way you should give. I will never ask you that. Actually, if you come here long enough, you will notice that I don't talk about money much and much at all. I believe that Christian people should know what God says in His Word. How about the subject of tithing and offerings and all that? I purposely don't preach about money because what's happened is this. People think, oh, you go to church, that's the only thing they talk about is money. Not in this church. We don't. And let me tell you, I don't do that. And let me tell you, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. For you constantly, faithfully given to the Lord. It's a blessing. So I don't have to keep going every Sunday, give you a mini sermon, so to speak, on how to give. We know better than that. All right? So why the emphasis? Should not the church use the money to fix the buildings, get better cafeterias, build basketball courts, gymnasiums, and everything else that goes along instead of supporting missions? Should not a church such as East Bay Baptist Church be more focused on get their own building and put the money aside as much as they can to buy their own building? Shouldn't we think that way? You see, all these questions are reasonable questions. Why should we support missions when we can buy our own building? Why are you spending all this kind of money when we can look for our own building? But let me tell you, folks, if our mind is there, then we lose the focus of what God calls us to do. We do what God calls us to do, and we trust the Lord in His time. He will provide. Amen. We should never go ahead of God, but let God lead us. Listen, I said this many times. Let God be in the driver's seat and sit on the passenger seat. That's what East Bay Baptist Church needs to do. We sit in the passenger seat and, Lord, lead us. And you know how He wants to lead us? We look at the worldwide missions and say, Lord, You commission us, and we're going to be part of it. That's what we've been doing since we started. You know, when we started this church, immediately I started a missions budget. And it was just me giving to missions. But I didn't see myself being a pastor without giving to missions. So we're going to have missionaries. Yep. And actually, our first missionary was here with us last Sunday night. That was our first missionary we took for support. You know one thing about missions? I talk with missionaries all the time. They're in the mission field. And how many churches drop them without even telling them? Don't you know when they're in other parts of the world, most of them can't even work? They depend on our giving. Otherwise, they can't function. They can't do what God calls them to do. So, all those questions that I mentioned here are reasonable. But in order to do, we must have a mindset for missions. Who give the church such a mandate? Who give the church such a mandate about as missions? Is missions man's idea? Is missions my idea to just get money? Is missions God's commission to the church? You see, missions and the subject of missions is not thought in many churches today. In other words, many churches out there are nothing but social clubs. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend anyone, but it's the truth. They don't have a missions program. They're not reaching anyone. They just have their little thing right there. We are to reach the lost. Listen, a church that just looks within, that church will die eventually. If we just hear hugging each other and say, ain't God good? Which He is good. But if we just look at us and we close the doors and be our little group right here, eventually all of us will die and the church will die. Right. It's not the church went out of business. The church is a living organism, and that living organism died. Yep. It's a sad day when that happens. Listen, for the church to keep going and flourish and keep on growing is we keep reaching and keep reaching and keep reaching. And let me tell you, the lost not going to tell a lost person to get saved. The God's people have to go tell God the lost to get saved. And that's what it says here in our text right here. Go ye, look what it says. Let's go back to our text. But ye shall receive power. You have power. What is that power? You have the Holy Spirit within you. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness, what it says, unto me both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the most parts of the earth. God, not like God asks us, God expects us to be witness. Here's my question before we get to our points here. My question to you is this. When is the last time you told someone about Jesus?
Amen.
When is the last time you took time out of your life and say, let me tell you something about somebody that loves you? You know how many broken people are in this world? You know how many broken people that are struggling? Put it like this. If this guy has a good job, you talk to him about Jesus, and he shoves you to the side, he doesn't want to hear. But let's say tomorrow that person lost his job, and he doesn't know about the future anymore because of a lot of uncertainty. But you know that person, if you talk about Jesus, more than likely he's going to listen to you. It happened. Testifying to you, it happens. So let's look at our points right here. Why missions? Number one, missions is the heartbeat of God. Go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Missions is the heartbeat of God. Look what it says that. Jesus speaking there. If you have your Bible, it's probably written in red. It's Jesus speaking. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even into the end of the world. Amen. So Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye unto the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, missions is the heartbeat of God. Let me tell you this. Jesus came on a mission. Jesus is that great missionary. He came with a mission. Where was Jesus' mission? His mission was Calvary's cross. You know, he went there because he knew that you would be born this age. He knew that you needed a Savior. And he said, I'm going there so Tony Barbosa can get saved.
Amen.
Missions is the heartbeat of God. And let me tell you, Jesus give us a lesson right here. He tells, go ye. Present tense verse right there. We are to go and tell. Let me tell you, America today, the apathy that goes on in churches. We don't think we need to tell anyone about Jesus. It's a great apathy in American church today. There are a few churches that are telling. Many churches are not. Some churches, and I'm not saying this in a critical way, but some churches don't have a missions budget. Some churches don't have a vision to have a missions budget. And they always struggle. They always shove the side. And when there's something happen in the church, the missionaries are the first ones to go. Shouldn't be that way, folks. Here we have a budget. That budget is 100% for missions.
Amen.
Whatever you give goes to missions. You know why? Because we put value on that because it's souls that need to be saved. Not only here in America, but throughout the world, souls need to be saved. Let me tell you, folks, I believe there's 110,000 people live in the city of Providence. That's a lot of fish.
Yep.
Big fish is little. That's a lot of fish. We need a lot of churches here.
Amen.
You think we can do all that? We can do what we can, but let me tell you this. There is a commission given to the church for that. Letter A, we say, let me tell you this. Number one, mission is the heartbeat of God. Letter A, Jesus came. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we may receive the adoption of sons. You see, through the ages, the Jewish people looked for the coming Messiah that would come to save the people from their sin. It was promised by God the Messiah would come one day in the fullness of time. Not our time. God's time. Jesus came. And who rejected them? The people that Jesus came for. As a nation, they reject the Messiah. But as individuals, they are getting saved. As Brother Rosado over there, he goes there a couple times a year. People get saved. But let me tell you, Jesus came as the greatest missionary to have a walk on the earth. He reached people with the gospel. He preached the gospel. And let me tell you, what about us? We have the truth. We carry the truth. Why not tell the truth? Why are we so afraid of telling someone about Jesus? Rejection? Somebody's going to call you names? Listen, they already called you names because you go to church. They already called you names. They already called you close-minded people, hateful. They already called you all kinds of names. Listen, I work in the world. I know. They call me. I smile at them and I tell them, Jesus loves you. They don't like to hear that. But that's what I tell them. Like, they call me names. I say, oh, you know, Jesus loves you. You gotta take it with a joyful heart. Otherwise, you're going to get mad, angry. And you're not gonna, I'm not going to tell anybody anymore because look at those people are treating me. Got to have a sense of humor. You think Jesus had a sense of humor? How you deal with Peter? All right? Peter always put his foot in his mouth all the time. How you deal with that? Just, oh, Peter, come over here. He had to have a sense of humor. You have to have a sense of humor to save me. Because a lot of times I don't make no sense. He's patient with me. But in the fullness of time, Jesus came. Let it be. Jesus reached. Look at Luke chapter 7:22. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, go your way and tell John the what things he have seen and heard, and how the blind see, the lame walk, the leper are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor, and to the poor the gospel is preached. In verse 23 says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The Bible tells us that in these verses that Jesus reached to everyone that came to him. In his ministry on earth, every person that came to Jesus, he never said to him, I'm too busy for you. Isn't that disciples that took away the children away from Jesus and he said, because he was too busy, Jesus said, let the children come unto me. He made himself available to people. Let me tell you, folks, 2020 years later, Jesus is still reachable. Amen. And he's still reaching out to you and to me. If you're watching us on social media, let me tell you, not saved, Jesus is reaching to you this morning. If you are here and you never received Jesus as your Savior, Jesus is reaching to you. You know why? Because, listen to this, he loves you. He cares about your struggles. He cares about your pains. He cares about the way you live. He cares about you. That's why he wants to save you. Some people think have a mind of Jesus as this guy that just wants you to do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. That's not Christianity. That's religion. He loves you. He's continuing to reach those who are lost. He wants to save everyone. He wants people to go to heaven where he is. Religion doesn't take you to heaven. God does. He reached, he continued to reach you this morning. You know what you have to do? If you're not saved here this morning, it's very simple. Admit that you are a sinner. Amen. You have broken God's laws. You're guilty before him. Ask Jesus to forgive you. And he will. Let me tell you this. Here's a story. A little boy did some mischief to his grandma. And he went and asked grandma for forgiveness. Grandma was not feeling well. He was aggravated and said, I think about it. No one goes to Jesus and receive those words. That's right. He is willing to forgive every single person. Jesus reached. Let us see. Jesus give. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bear our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live into righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Is that word there, present tense? Every time you sin, every time you ask forgiveness, he heals you. But let me tell you this. He give. What Jesus give? He gave us life. He shed his blood for you and me. When he was nailing that cross, my name was in his mind. Your name was in his mind. He went there to die for you, to pay a penalty that you and I can never pay. We can never pay our salvation. We can never go to heaven when we die until, or get to the doors of heaven and say, move over, Peter. It's not in the Bible anyway. Move over, Peter. I'm walking in. Really? Jesus give. What did he give? What did Jesus give? Number one, he gave us time. Look what it says in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So Jesus gave us time. He interacted with people. He talked with people. He communicated with people. Let me tell you, we need to be better communicators.
Amen.
In our homes, we need to be better communicators. In a place of work, we need to be better communicators. Telling people about Jesus, we need to communicate better. Listen, this thing about God saved, I said last week, is now 1, 2, 3, you're saved. Here's a story. My son was working at McDonald's, Patrick. And this man walking, one man from our church walking in, and the other person that was working with him, he grabs that person by the arm and said, listen, you need to be saved. And the person was like, her eyes went like this, boop. I like grabbed the little girl just literally and said, you need to be saved. Saved from what? You need to be saved. You need to pray with me right now so Jesus can save you. Pray with me. Okay, good. You're saved. And the person, the whole time, my son was looking at like this with eyes. It's like, listen, it's not 1, 2, 3, get saved. It doesn't work that way. We need to spend time. We need to take time to tell people the truth so they can understand the truth. Let me give you an example. In our church, when I got saved many years ago, we used to have two people, old-fashioned Bible preaching church, with the Bible standing there in the end of the service, inviting people to come up. And one thing that is, this lady came up, and usually we used to ask another lady to come up and look around. There's no ladies. Well, so I said, well, all right, I guess it's me. So I took the lady, we got in the altar, and we said, try to lead her to the Lord. And I felt this way. The pastor is waiting for her to get saved at any moment. Just get saved, you know? And the lady right here was not understanding. I have a clue what I was talking about. Then the pastor said, she's saved. After the service, I told the pastor, I don't believe that lady got saved. I don't think she understood. I think we need to spend more time and explain to her what salvation means and what she needs to do. I'm not all-knowing, believe me, but we went to her house the next day on Monday, and it's exactly what I said. She received Jesus as Savior in her home. She did not understand. So Jesus, take time. That number two, Jesus, give us peace. Look in verse John 14:27. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not that the world give it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let me tell you something. What people don't understand, we live in a world, we say, well, the world is at peace. America is at peace. Really? Look around. Are we at peace or are we in turmoil? Look at the state of our nation right now. Do we need to pray for our country? Yes, we do. Look at the state of the world. Listen, there's always this threat of wars and all these things going on behind the scenes. Listen, I work for a defense facility. Only if you knew what I know. We think we have peace. Listen, peace is when you find Jesus. That's when you find peace. The peace of God that goes beyond understanding, that even in the midst of turmoil and problems and all kinds of things of life, listen, even through headaches and health issues, we can have the peace of God that the world does not understand. How you do that? When you receive Jesus as your Savior. He came to give peace to the heart of man. He gave us peace. And those who receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, they understand what I'm talking about. Is a peace that the world can never give you. Is a peace that the world don't have to offer you. It doesn't even understand. Number three, he give abundant life. John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, and the thief, who's a thief? Satan cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come, he said, that they might have life and they might have more abundantly. What kind of life is that? Let me tell you this. Before I got saved, all right, I have a concept, an understanding of life. But after I got saved, I understand the meaning of life. You follow that? We all existing. Listen, many people in this world, they're not living. They're just existing. It goes this way. They get up in the morning, they go to work. They work all day. They come home. They sit down, watch TV. They eat supper. They go to sleep. They get up in the next day. They do the same thing. Life is a routine to them. In the weekend, many of them spend all the money on Monday. They ask you to borrow money from you because they're already broke, and they go on. It happens all the time, every single day. They're existing. They take vacations here and there, and as soon as they come from vacation, they want another vacation. Ever heard that at work? Oh, I need another vacation. I'm tired from my vacation. I need another vacation. Listen, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, you understand that in Him is abundant life. You know, you understand the meaning of life. Life is not about me. It's about Him. Because ultimately, when you pass from the scene, everything is left behind. The only thing that matters is what you have done for Him. Abundant life. He comes to give you meaning of your life. You get up in the morning and say, thank you, God, for a new day. What do you want me to do today, Lord? I have to go to work. Yes, I'm going to be the best worker that I can be. I'm a boss. Listen, God, I'm going to be the best boss that I can be. I'm going to respect my workers. I'm going to do all, whatever it is. You understand the meaning of life. You are a mother at home, you'll be the best mother. You are whatever it is, we do those things because now we understand what life is all about. Number four, He gave Himself. John 10, verse 18 says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I receive of my Father. Now, some people think that Jesus was victimized by the Jewish people and by the Roman Empire. He was an innocent victim that unfortunately got nailed to a cross. By the way, hundreds of people got nailed to crosses. That's what the Romans did. You disobey the Roman Empire and their laws, they will put you on a public place there and display as an example for others not to do what you have done. But Jesus was different. He didn't go there because He was a victim. He went there on His own. He went there in His own time. He went there with a purpose. And actually, that was already written before He was even born. It was prophesied that it would happen to Him. He came to give Himself with a purpose. You know what the purpose was? You. You were the purpose. Listen, if you were the only person on planet Earth, it would be nobody else but you. Jesus would still do it for you. He came to give Himself. So why missions? Number one, missions is the heartbeat of God. Number two, missions is the heartbeat of the church. Look there in Acts chapter 1 in our text. It's that He shall receive power. He's talking to the church. They're there together. Missions, and the subject of mission is not thought in many churches today. In other words, missions is not something that they teach, neither something that they do. There are so many churches, like I said in the beginning, who are not a missions-minded church. There are many Christians who are not missions-minded Christians. They don't witness. They don't support. They don't pray. They don't give. They don't do anything for missions. And you know what? According to God's word, if we're not a missions-minded church, we don't need to be here.
That's right.
Because we are disobeying the very commission that Jesus gives us.
Yep.
He says, go ye throughout the world. Present tense, go ye. In every generation, you keep going and tell the people about me. And you say, well, nobody hears anymore. Come on. That is the most sad excuse I ever heard. That is the saddest excuse coming from the mouth of a Christian. Nobody wants to hear anymore. Really? You heard. You accepted. You believed. Why do you think other people won't? Sometimes I wonder if that's an excuse for us not to go and tell. Yeah, people can look at you, can scream at you. People can walk, put you in the side and say, I don't want to do with that person. Yes. What did they do to Jesus? Tell me. They spit on His face. They mock Him. They nail Him into a cross. That's what they did to Him. What do you think they're going to do to you? You're having the same message that He had. You are a follower of Jesus. If you're a Christian here, guess what? When you open your mouth and tell about Jesus, yes, people are going to treat you differently. Listen, I'm a pastor. I'm working in a workplace. I got it worse than you do. You know, like walking on feathers, you know, like, oh, you know, you have to be careful. You have to have a sense of humor with all this. But let me tell you, every day I find myself preaching. It's like, you know, the preparation for Sunday. Every day I'm preaching. It ain't not like I'm searching for them. They come to me. My mission field is my desk. And they come to me with all these questions. Oh, great, wonderful opportunity. Although right there, I was telling them, you want to hear the truth? Or I have truth? Because if I'm going to say something to you, I'm going to tell you the truth. Are you ready for the truth? Yeah, okay, tell me the truth. All right, okay. So park yourself here, get your chair, sit down, let's talk. And sometimes the supervisor comes and says, hey, you know, we're paying you guys, we're paying you not to preach. They're like, hey, I didn't call him. He came here on his own. Tell him. Yep. Yeah, go back to your workplace. Good. 5 minutes later, he comes back again. So we have to, you look for the opportunity and we tell them, listen, let's be open-minded. The Lord says, look into the harvest field. Look up. Because missions, it's the heart of the church. Letter A, the church's commission. Matthew says, go ye therefore. Jesus commissioned the church to go and tell. Let me tell you this. Who is the church? Me? Okay, if I die tomorrow, then what happens? Don't tell me you guys will go home. Who's the church? I don't like when people say, Tony Barbarossa's church. This is not my church. I'm just the pastor of the church. We are the church. Amen. We are the body of Christ. We are a church family, and we do things together. Right. If I'm going to talk about missions and missionaries, I'm giving you the message so you can have my vision, so we can do it together as a family. Let me tell you, you're home with your wife, and let's say, Gil. All right, you go and you do something, and your wife has no clue what you did. When you come home, you're all happy, doing your thing, and your wife goes to you and says, hey, what'd you mean? What did you do? Oh, I did this, this, and that. And she goes, what about me? Am I your wife? Am I part of this family? You ever heard that? You say, because when we do it together. That's right. You're not single anymore. You got that? I mean, I'm telling you because I get that too, you know. We're not the same thing. Listen, this is not Tony Barbosa's church. This is our church. We're part of this together. If the Lord takes me home tomorrow, guess what? You guys got to keep going on. When Moses was moved out of the scene, who came about? Joshua. God sent him. That's what we need to do. God commissioned the church, us, to go and tell. Let me tell you this. Letter A. Is that letter A? Did I give you letter A? Letter B. The church's vision. It says, say not ye, that's John chapter 4, verse 35, they are yet 4 months, and there cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and ready for harvest. What you're saying right here, Jesus, look at us and say, lift up your eyes, look up into the fields. Let me show you. You need to see that. Listen, when we go about our lives, believe me, if we look at the world through the eyes of Jesus, you won't be able to help yourself but tell people about Jesus. If we look at the world through our own eyes, we will forget. What is our mission? Listen, we have a mission to accomplish. You say, well, I cannot go physically. There's many ways to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Many ways. In your own ways, you say, Lord, help me. Help me to tell the lost about Jesus. How can I go to the othermost parts of the earth? You can't. But we can send somebody to go. I always think this way, and it always overwhelms me. Think about it. I pray for the missionaries. I financially give to the missionaries. They go to a world that I never been there. I don't know the people there. But I believe someday in heaven, someone will approach me and say, thank you. For what? For your sacrificial prayers and your sacrificial giving that will make this man able to go tell me about Jesus. That's what God wants us to do. We can't go, but we can send someone to go and represent us in the name of Jesus. The church's vision. What is our vision? The vision of East Bay Baptist Church is to reach the harvest fields of East Providence, the neighborhoods around us, and the world. It must be a vision because with no vision, nothing will be done. Jesus gave the church a vision. He tells us to go, to look, so we can see the need around us. Let me tell you, if you don't have a vision for your life, you're going to make a mess out of your life. All right? I was talking to the kids this morning about preparing for the future, preparation for the future. Let me tell you, if we as families, if we don't have a vision, we're not going anywhere. If we as a church, we don't have a vision, we're not going anywhere.
Right.
Got to be a vision for what am I doing? Where am I going? Where am I heading to? Otherwise, we're not going anywhere. You know, some people say, oh, my life has been a mess and never got anywhere. Like, why? Because you have no vision.
Right.
If the job is no good, look for another one. If you say, my wife is no good, then love her.
Yep.
Do you want to tell you to leave? No. If your husband is no good, pray for him and help him.
Yep.
You got to be a vision.
Right.
Same thing with the church. What are we going to do? Just hug each other and say, hey, wonderful. No, we have to have a vision. What is our vision? We have to teach the children of God. We have to help them to grow in the Lord. But we have to have a vision for the lost. Tell the world they need Jesus. You have someone in your house that never received Jesus as Savior? You're going to let them die and go to hell? You say, I already told them a million times. I tell them a million and one. A million and two. Be like contagious. Oh, they get aggravated. Hey, it's better they get aggravated now than when they die and find themselves in a place that you don't want to be.
That's right.
So we have to put it that way. Oh, you and your religion again. It's not religion, it's my Jesus. He loves you. You see, you can go about and argue with the person, or you can make a sweet. Oh, here goes again. Every time you open your mouth, it's about Jesus. Jesus loves you. Let it be the church's plan. The church's plan. What is the church's plan? Look at Matthew 9:36. It should be the church's plan. But when he saw... Talking about the multitudes. He saw the multitudes, Jesus seen right here. He was moved with what? With compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. What is the church's plan? The church's plan to follow God's mandate. What he said to us, we said we ought to when we look at the multitudes, we have to be moved with compassion. The same compassion that Jesus had when he looked at those multitudes lost. I'll tell you one time, I used to go to watch the Paul Sox. They're moving, so I guess I'm done with the Paul Sox. But anyway, I went and watched the Paul Sox. I'm sitting there. Not like I really care about baseball, but anyway, I'm sitting there, me and my family, and I'm looking around. The place was packed, and it dawned on me, how many of these people are going to heaven? Believe me, every time I go to a stadium, it reminds me of the Roman Colosseums when Christians were killed. Today we entertained. Well, those days people were entertained by lions devouring or killing, eating Christians for their faith. You see, the church's plan. What is the church's plan? To send workers into the harvest. We have to send workers into the harvest of East Providence and the neighborhoods and into the world. We can't go to the world. We send these guys that want to leave the comfort of America and go into the world. Let me tell you this. I asked you this before here. There was a young man, missionary to Argentina. And he said he lived in Washington, D.C. with his wife. He looked at me and said, listen, people think that missionaries are people that, you know, they're looking for a job opportunity, so they feel that maybe it's the best thing they can do. He goes, listen, I had a great job. My wife had a wonderful job. We had our house was like big as a mansion. We were living so comfortable. We were sad. We had our home church. We'll go and worship and all that. And God impressed in my heart to go to Argentina to be a missionary. He said, I sold everything. I quit my job. Folks, that is faith.
Amen.
He's still there in Argentina.
Amen.
He's still there serving the Lord. What causes a person to do that? Faith, a vision. Listen, it got to be the vision of the church. To look at to the harvest fields of the world. What can we do? The Bible says right here, pray ye therefore. Don't you know that's a prayer request? made by Jesus himself. He said, pray ye therefore. Why should we pray? You know why? Because many are called and a few go.
That's right.
Many people don't want to go. Oh, the church has outreach today. We go on Saturday, put things on people's. Oh, goodness, I have this. Did God impress on their hearts? Yes, he did. You know what we do? We excuse ourselves. Happens to all of us. So this man woke up in the morning and he said to his wife, you go to church today? I'm not going to church today. Why not going to church today? I don't feel like going to church. I feel like just sleeping, get up, go sit on the couch, watch TV. I'm not going to church today. You got to go to church. Listen, why am I going to church today? Nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. So why am I going there? I'm not going to church. Nobody will miss me. The wife looks at him and said, you got to go to church. Why? Because you're the pastor. Even if they don't like you, you got to be there. I'm just kidding with you. That was not my wife. My wife didn't tell me that. Number three, missions, the goal of God's children. Almost done. So mission, so to speak, starts with whom? You. Starts with you. If you don't give, if you don't get involved, the work of the Lord won't get accomplished. You may be thinking that this thing of doing missions is so great, but it's not for you. God wants you to be involved. Missions is the goal of God's children. Listen, I can't give financially. You can pray. You're giving your time, your treasures. You give your time. Get involved. So I cannot give financially. Okay. Then get Trump tracks and go tell people about Jesus. It won't cost you nothing. Letter A, how we should reach individuals. Reach one at a time. People say, this thing about missions is overwhelming. It's not overwhelming if you reach one at a time. Reach one at a time. Look at John 4:35. It says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and there cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white, ready to harvest. We don't have to go very far to see the harvest fields. You might get up in the morning and be right looking at you next, right in your bedroom, or like in your kitchen, whatever person in the family never received Jesus as Savior. That's the harvest right there. Or your neighbors across the street, or your co-workers. That's the harvest. You don't have to go very far. Reach one at a time. Don't feel overwhelmed about this. Let it be. Give sacrificially. Look what it says. For this, 2 Corinthians 8:3, it says, For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying with much entreaty, and that we should receive the gift and take upon the fellowship and of the ministry of the saints, that this they did, I can't really see these things, not as we hoped, but first give their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So how we give to mission sacrificially, let me tell you this. You know, most people that give, I'm not talking about right now the financial part of it. Most people that give, they always give sacrificially. When some people say, oh, I'm not ready to give. Listen, don't you think that I've been giving to the Lord? I've been giving my tithes and offerings to the Lord all these years. It's always sacrificially. Oh, Pastor, how you do this? Sacrificially. Because I don't want to take from God what belongs to him. We give sacrificially.
Yep.
We structure our lives. We budget our lives. And we say what happens. So every Sunday, every Friday when I get my check, the first thing, the very top is God. God comes first. Then everything goes after, however you design. If you don't do it that way, you are in the wrong. If we take something that doesn't belong to us, God has a way to get it. That's his, belongs to him. Give, get personally involved. Letter B, give sacrificially. Letter C, get personally involved. Listen, when it comes to missions, like I said before, it's not just about give financially. What about give your time? Give your treasure. Give your time to the Lord. Pray. to those who go in the harvest field, you say, I cannot go physically. I am an older person. I have limitations. I can't go and tell. But you can pray. So give your time. Pray for the lost, for those who are lost. Pray for those who go and take go out of their way to go in the fields and work hard. Pray for them. We need to get involved. All of us, as a church, we need to get involved. You see, missions starts with you. Missions is the heartbeat of God. Mission should be the heartbeat of the church. But mission should be the heartbeat of each one of us individually. It's got to start with us. And let me tell you, as long as I'm a pastor here, we're always going to have missions. Amen. Because I believe that's God's commission to reach the lost. Yep. As long as we give our time, our treasures to the Lord in this wide world missions, I believe God will continue to bless it and bless us. And he's been blessing. Listen, if we look at those 4 years we've been here, let me tell you, the Lord has been blessing us beyond measure. Oh, goodness, if I just write down all the blessings that God have done to us, you could see, you will fall asleep because there's so many blessings. Yeah. Yeah. He's so good to us. What a great God we serve, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The very fact that we are saved is the greatest blessing of all. I am saved. It doesn't matter what happened to me, I'm going to heaven. Some people think heaven is some thing out there, the flowing. No, it's a real place, it's a real city. You know who goes there? God's people. God's people. Let's pray. Have